Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Yes, that's the sound of rock cracking. The midterm elections are over and a lot of rock was falling all over the place. And what was it? Well, it wasn't a red wave or a blue wave. I call it a green wave. And why? Well, listen to today's show. This is Doc Holliday right here on Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I'm your host. Glad to have you right here. We've been talking about the elections for several months now, and they're over. Are they over? Well, down in Florida, as we get ready and taping the show for this week, we don't know. It looked like Governor Scott had won the Senate seat against long-term incumbent Mr. Nelson, and by golly, they found 76,000 votes they didn't know they had after the election in Broward County, of all places, Broward County, Florida. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. But let's get the overall picture, the green wave. Why is it the green wave? Because almost $5 billion was spent on a midterm election, numbers that are much more than even in a presidential race. And the elections where there's 435 congressional districts up for election every 2 years. And in many of those congressional districts, the campaign spent more than what they usually do on a statewide Senate seat. Money is pouring in from the billionaires like Tom Steyer, the former mayor of New York, Mr. Bloomberg. And of course, there's some money coming in on the Republican side, but not near as much as the Democratic billionaires who wanted Donald Trump to get defeated in just a pure rebuke is what they wanted, and it didn't really happen. Yes, the House was lost to the Republicans, and many of those contests were within 1 or 2 points, and that's where the green wave. So many Republicans got outspent 2-1, 3-1 even. Look at the Senate race between Ted Cruz. We talked about that, Beto O'Rourke. He raised over $70 million. That's not counting all the PAC money that came pouring in. And probably outspent Ted Cruz 3-1. And he got within about 2 or 3 percentage points of winning. And this is in Texas, a red state, a big red state. And they want to make that state blue, and it's getting closer to purple, they believe. So what about it, listeners in Texas? Are you about to turn Texas blue? Well, they believe you can. But that what I'm showing you is the green wave. When you outspend an opponent 3-1, you're going to get, usually you'll win. And they did in a lot of the congressional races. If you remember, Hillary Clinton outspent Trump 2-1 just about. And she didn't win. But Trump got a lot of media attention automatically. So let's just look at what happened. First, let's go to what is going on right now before we talk about everything. It's still in Arizona. They have not called a Senate race between Sinema and Max Sally. Max Sally is the Republican. And she, on election night, she was ahead. Looked pretty good. But then they had to count 600,000 provisional and absentee ballots. The provisional is what you're supposed to, the Democrat and Republican representatives for the campaigns are supposed to watch everyone that gets open. And I believe that's happening in Arizona, but it's not happening in Florida. So what is happening in Florida? Well, let's just listen to what Governor Scott said on the Sean Hannity show a couple of days after election, when they were finding votes that everything was supposed by law to be told how many votes there were at the end of the early voting and absentee votes is supposed to know how many there were the day before the election. Here's Governor Scott talking about a lawsuit that he filed.
Governor Rick Scott filed a lawsuit against Palm Beach and Broward counties for lack of access to public records regarding voting numbers. This comes as a recount now looms over his race for the U.S. Senate. Joining us now, the man himself, Governor Rick Scott. Governor, I'm looking at these numbers. On Election Day, you were up 57,000 votes. What is the number now?
Now it's down to 15,000 votes. So it's clear. We got some left-wing activists. We've got some Democrat D.C. lawyers. They're down here for one purpose, to steal this election. Somehow,
Governor,
County Supervisor.
I looked at the numbers. You were told five different numbers. Florida law says that all absentee early voting numbers must be reported in within 30 minutes of the polls closing, correct?
Absolutely.
And those numbers,
Sean, they found 78,000 votes. Sean, they found 78,000 new votes since Election Day 2 days ago in Broward County, and 15,000 more votes in Palm Beach. We don't know how many more votes they're going to come up with, but it sure appears they're going to keep finding as many votes as it takes to try to win this election.
Right.
So I've asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to immediately do an investigation. We filed lawsuits. We're going to fight this, and we're going to win.
Well, she, in 2016, her office posted results a half hour before the polls closed. That's an election violation law, but broken. She was sued for leaving amendments off the ballots. She also, in the case of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, why is this person even working there?
Well, what I've done is I've asked for an investigation, but we have examples. The Palm Beach supervisor won't allow normal party officials that are supposed to be reviewing ballots. They're not allowing them to do it properly. That's a violation of the law. They're supposed to report all these results. They're not. But how did they come up with 78,000 more votes? Just in Broward and 15 in Palm Beach, no other county is having these problems. We had a horrible hurricane in the Panhandle. It didn't happen there. The lawyers that come down said they're here to win the election, not here to say, oh, I want to find out what the results are and make sure there's fair results. They're down here for one person, and they've said that, to win the election.
27 days ago, the Panhandle was smashed with one of the worst hurricanes we've seen. They got their votes in on time. They ended up doing this. I cannot, to me, this is the single biggest abuse of power in an election I've seen. And they have Mark Elias, the guy at the heart of the whole Perkins Coie, Fusion GPS, Clinton bought and paid for dossier, leading the way?
Yes, that is the lawyer who's leading the way. And I'm glad that Governor Scott jumped right in for a lawsuit. And it is unconscionable that the Democrats want to say every vote should count. That is true. But if somebody's counting votes twice, or if somebody has loaded up a bunch of provisional ballots that were not open by representatives of both parties watching, I mean, and what I remember Marco Rubio, Senator Rubio down there in Florida was talking about, once that ballot is open, it's not supposed to be open if there's a provisional ballot. Provisional means it may not be a legal ballot. Anybody goes to the poll, they can vote, but they may not be registered. They have to sign their name. It's got to be their signature. And all that needs to be checked to make sure it's correct before you open it. Once you open it, then you can't know who the voter is. So they separate the envelope from the vote. And that's why it's got to be open, while representatives of both parties, Republican, Democrat, are there watching and making sure everything is done correctly. But Broward County opened these ballots, they said, before anybody. They wouldn't let representatives of either party watch them open the ballots. So there's so many things that are going on that are not done by the Florida law. And what are the consequences? I mean, this is not the first time Broward County's running this problem. So I hope that everything will work out very well, and we'll know exactly who voted, and every vote should count, but it should not count twice, and people who are not supposed to vote should not be influencing an election with a vote. So these are the things that got to be sorted out, and I'm thankful that Governor Scott seems to be aggressive in his attitude to make sure that Floridians get the Senate, the senator who they voted for. And he's already, it was declared victory on election night, and he says he's not going to let them steal the election away from the Florida people. I hope not. I'm glad that he's working hard on that. So that is coming from Senator Scott, well, Governor Scott, who is Senator-elect. And then the same thing as we're talking about what happens when you get under a half percentage point, there's automatic recount. And the same thing is happening as they find or finding 76,000 votes in the Florida governor's race with Ron DeSantis. And like I said, we had him early on this show many years ago before he was ever even in Congress during the Tea Party days. He was big in the Tea Party movement and standing up for the Constitution. And now he should be the governor of Florida, but with all this recount and with all these new votes being discovered in Broward County and Palm Beach County, we don't know. So that is why Governor Scott has filed a lawsuit, and let's hope that everything works out in Florida, that what the vote, whoever the voters voted for, and each vote should count, but it should not count if you're not a legal resident, if it should not count if you're not able to vote, or if you voted twice. And though in Arizona, they said they had to check because some people were voting absentee ballot and then going into the ballot box and voting again. So that's when an absentee ballot should not count if you went in and voted. So we got people trying to vote twice. All that's got to be worked out, and I'm glad I don't have that headache, but it's, you know, no cheating should be allowed, that's for sure. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. I got a song on play for you. We'll get the second half of the show, and we got a little quote from Laura Ingraham, and we're going to talk about the House, Nancy Pelosi, what's going on, and the U.S. Senate, which was a... That was the good thing that happened for the Republicans. They didn't lose seats. They picked up, at least one. They should have picked up three or four. We'll wait and see what happens in Arizona and Florida. So we'll talk about the House and the Senate right after you listen to this.
What have I done to deserve such a fate? I realize I have left it too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall. I'm telling you so that you won't lose all. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser.
Well, was that Donald Trump singing a song, I'm a Loser? not the big Donald, no. But there were some Republicans who were losers, and instead of congratulating them, patting them on the back for a job well done, Donald Trump in his bizarre news conference after the election had this to say about the Republicans who lost. And I just thought of that Beatles song. I had to play that little clip, but take a listen to what Donald Trump had to say after midterm election about these Republicans, most of them in the House.
You had some that decided to, let's stay away, let's stay away. They did very poorly. I'm not sure that I should be happy or sad, but I feel just fine about it. Carlos Cubella, Mike Kaufman, too bad, Mike. Mia Love. I saw Mia Love. She'd call me all the time to help her with a hostage situation. Being held hostage in Venezuela. But Mia Love gave me no love. And she lost. Too bad. Sorry about that, Mia. And Barbara Comstock was another one. I mean, I think she could have won that race, but she didn't want to have any embrace. For that, I don't blame her. But she lost, substantially lost. Peter Roskam didn't want the embrace. Eric Paulson didn't want the embrace. And in New Jersey, I think he could have done well, but it didn't work out too good. Bob Eugen, I feel badly because I think that's something that could have been won. That's a race that could have been won. John Faso, those are some of the people that, you know, decided for their own reason not to embrace whether it's me or what we stand for. But what we stand for meant a lot to most people. And we've had tremendous support and tremendous support in the Republican Party, among the biggest support in the history of the party. I've actually heard at 93%, it's a record, but I won't say that because who knows. But we've had tremendous support.
Well, that was President Trump, and he had to call out those who didn't want his support. He called them out. And why did he do that? Well, you think, well, he's very prideful. He's very arrogant. I think of those words. Democrats like to give that to him. But what he was saying is, if you want help in the next midterm, if you want help, it won't be a midterm, the presidential election's coming up, but he's saying get on the team, and he's letting everybody know get on the team. And the fact that he helped in the Senate race, and the Republicans beat McCaskill, they won, they flipped Missouri, they flipped Indiana, and, you know, they may have flipped Arizona. Well, didn't flip Arizona. They're trying to keep Arizona. But in Florida, they flip Florida if it goes on that Governor Scott becomes Senator Scott. And those were big, big elections. They did not flip Montana. They wanted, Trump went out there 3 or 4 times, wanted to so bad, did not flip Montana, did not flip West Virginia. But all in all, that's why there was not a blue wave. If the Republicans had lost the Senate, then that would have been a blue wave. But they held the Senate, and they had some good odds because they didn't have as many of their own up for re-election. But they did lose Dean Heller out in Nevada. The Republicans lost that seat. So, but the Republicans held on, actually gained a seat or two or three. We'll have to wait and see. There's still a special election in Mississippi. That's where we make the show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. So it's coming down between a Republican and a Democrat. And there were two Republicans in the in the initial form. Nobody got 50%. And there will be a runoff between Cindy Hyde-Smith, who was appointed senator to fulfill the term of until the election to fulfill Thad Cochran, who retired because of health reasons, and he's got 2 more years, and that's what they're running for, the final 2 years of his Senate term. There's Chris McDaniel, who almost beat the incumbent Thad Cochran back in 2014. He was in the race and ran a good hard race, and he got a lot of support from the conservative voters in Mississippi. But Cindy Hyde-Smith got more of the Republican vote, and so she's in a runoff with the Democrat Mike Espy. It's a special election, not supposed to have political parties backing you up, but that's why nobody got 50%, and so it is coming down between a Republican and a Democrat. And if Mississippi can get its voters out, if the Republicans do, they should win that. Chris McDaniel, state senator who was running for the race, he came out and said, we have to get behind Cindy Hyde-Smith because he recognizes the intense debates that go on, and especially talk about Supreme Court judges, and the Senate needs all the help they can get. If Mississippi lost its seat to from a Republican to a Democrat, like Alabama next door did, under some tough circumstances, well, it would be very It would bode bad for the Republicans, and you better believe there's some money going to be pouring in to help try to elect a Democrat here in Mississippi in the next 3 weeks. But let's go back to what we're talking about, the elections with the Senate, and what President Trump was doing is letting everybody know you better get on the team and I get behind and support you, and if you don't, you're liable to get beat. And they're letting the moderates know, hey, you get on with the team and I'll come in and help you out. So we'll see what that means for the future of the party, but Donald Trump is really taking reins of the Republican Party, and we'll see how this goes into the election of 2020. His reelection will be working toward that, and of course, now the Republicans, it sets the stage now. How do they retake the House? Can they retake the House? Will Donald Trump have coattails in 2020? All of this is the great unknown. And how will the Democrats and the Republicans work together? And how? Let's talk a minute about how they lost the House. Well, the Republicans, like I said, it was the green wave that wiped them out of the House, I really believe. One of the things was there's like over 40 Republicans who retired, so you didn't have that many incumbents. And some of them may have. Rush Limbaugh said that he really thought the press really went on about the blue wave over a year ago to scare so many Republicans and have them shaking, their knees shaking, so they decided to retire instead of get beat. And it's easier for an incumbent to stay in office against an onslaught than it is somebody's never been, their name's not been on the ballot before. So that really hurt the Republicans, that they had so many retirements. And of course they said, well, there's chairman of this, chairman of that, and they didn't want to, you know, and Republicans have a rule that after 6 years you got to give the chairmanship up and go to another committee. Some of them didn't want to do that. Don't know all the reasons, but it was tough on the Republicans to try to hold the onslaught of 40 resignations, said they weren't going to run again. 40 Republicans did that, and then the money come pouring in where a lot of these, again, they were newcomers. They were running for the seats, but they didn't have the ways to raise money like the incumbents did. So there's a lot of reasons, and it could have been worse. I think Bill Clinton lost up in the 40s after his midterm, and then of course Barack Obama lost, I think, his 63 when the Tea Party really rallied up, and so there's some big waves that happened, and Donald Trump kept it down to a blue ripple, and then they held on to the Senate. So all in all, I wish it would have been better. I wish they had not lost so many House seats. I wish Nancy Pelosi was not the Speaker of the House. But you can wish all day long. It is what it is, and Republicans have to deal with reality and start working toward 2020 even now. And there's some things like infrastructure and things that should, Donald Trump and Republicans and Democrats should get together for the country, for the sake of the country. I don't know the Democrats will do that. They don't want Donald Trump to get any wins. So we'll just have to see. What does it mean for the lame duck session of Congress? Well, maybe the Republicans may try to get some stuff done they should have done a long time ago. They may get some done. We'll see what happens in the lame duck session of Congress. But I will say this. There's a lot of losers, and the Republicans had more losers in the House, and then the Democrats had some losers in the Senate that I mentioned. But the most important thing right now is for America to get better and better. And Donald Trump is president, and we still have the Senate. And the good thing is the judicial nominees for not just the Supreme Court, but all over courts across America, judges have to be confirmed and pushed through. And that's where McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, he has done a good job on that. And we got two Supreme Court justices. Maybe another seat opens up, you know. We know Ruth Ginsburg is 85. She fell and broke some ribs, but now she said she is planning never to leave as long as Donald Trump is president. Maybe she has an inside with the good Lord, but we pray for her health. I hope her ribs get better, and we will see if anything opens up in the next year or two for the Supreme Court. But we do know this, that the Republicans do have the Senate, and even though Democrats can filibuster things, and what comes up from the House, they'll have to work things out to get anything passed. They'll have to work together. And then Donald Trump, he can build on having some resistance in the House to sort of push forward the agenda for 2020, not on his reelection, but a reelection of coattails that can retake the House and get more help in the Senate. Can it happen? Yes, but we don't know. It's too early how America and its political leaders will work together. The voters have talked and have spoken, and except for Arizona and Florida, we'll have to hear what goes on in there. But I think Laura Ingraham really said some good things to sum up some of what the losers, sore losers, are saying. So let me play a little bit of that. And this is the show that we've been waiting to do because we didn't know how the election was going to go. And now the voters are spoken. So let's let Laura finish this up. I'll finish the show with a little clip from Laura Ingraham on the Fox News Network. Take a listen to this. And then we'll sum up right at the end. Thanks for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
His office today, but don't forget, his opponent, Stacey Abrams, she's not conceding yet.
DeSantis has declared victory. Gillum has conceded, but he has tweeted saying that he wants every vote to count.
Bill Nelson has brought in a high-powered Democratic lawyer from Washington, D.C. to oversee this recount.
Well, in close or particularly contentious races, Democrats, more so than Republicans, seem to have a problem conceding defeat. Now, it can't be that the other guy won fair and square. It has to be that either the election system broke down or some mystery votes are hiding somewhere or the entire process must be tainted. Well, then there's the other way to explain a tough loss. Well, the voters must be racist.
Donald Trump's instincts were validated in big sections of the country. The incitement strategy, the racial demagoguery, it worked.
Trump's Republican Party is getting increasingly older, increasingly whiter, increasingly rural.
The other thing that could be happening in Florida is the old Bradley effect. I mean, which once affected, lowered the election day vote totals of black candidates. Former LA Mayor Tom Bradley, who kept running for governor, and polls would show that he would win, and somehow on election day he would lose.
It's all mired in race. Even after Democrats flipped the House and many minority candidates won from coast to coast, once the results in the Florida's governor's race and in Georgia rolled in, Adam Sewer of The Atlantic published this piece. It was titled, America's Problem Isn't Tribalism, It's Racism. In writing, if Republicans ran on their policy agenda alone, they would be at a disadvantage. So they've turned to a destructive politics of white identity, one that seeks a path to power by deliberately dividing the country along racial and sectarian lines. They portray the nation as the birthright of white, heterosexual Christians. Yeah, Adam, that's what those policies that led to record unemployment for African Americans and Latinos are all about, stoking racial and sectarian ethnic fears.
But there you have it, folks. I believe Laura Ingraham has penned it. You're going to be looking in the next 2 years, everything the media, the leftist can do to make America look racist, anything to do with Trump look racist. They're going to call every Trump voter a racist. And, you know, that is the ballgame they're playing, paint everybody as a racist. If everybody's a racist, if everything's a racist, then nothing's racist. So they're diluting the power word that they've used for years, racism, and we need to look at that. Maybe we'll go into that next show, because there is no doubt that in the past there's been favoritism, but this word racism, I have a problem with the word racism, and we'll talk about that some next show. This is my belief that we are one race, the human race. Dr. Alveda King, my friend, has helped me understand that. We are of one race, the human race. So if it's true we're of one race, the human race, then every time you use the word racism, you're saying we're more than one race. So why do we use the word racism? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and the liberals love the word racism. And I don't believe in favoritism, skin color, having favoritism. But the word racism is like quicksand. Every time you use it, you say we're one race, we're the human race. But if you say racism, you already divide us up. And it's division. So where do we go? Well, we may talk about that some next week. But for now, the midterms are over. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you. And it's not going to be a short, easy journey to 2020. Every week's going to be packed full, just like this past 2 years. Donald Trump gives the media and everybody a lot to talk about. And no doubt we'll have a lot to talk about next week. So listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.